Welcome back in, hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Got a lot to come on the show today. We'll get into the Titans a little bit later in this hour. So the choice is yours coming up at 7:45. At 8 o'clock, Jerry Palm from CBS will drop by. We'll get into a little bit of college basketball talk with him and take a look at some bracketology as well. Where does Tennessee sit? Where does Belmont sit right now in terms of the NCAA tournament discussion? We'll get into all that coming up. And then, of course, Matt Duchesne dropping by at 8:45 Predator Cinnamon for his weekly visit. So a lot still to come here on the show today, but a little bit different of a show today as well, reliving and reacting to this day a year ago when we all woke up and saw the devastation in our communities from the tornadoes and the storms that rolled through our area. We'll take your reaction and your stories all show long on our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. And with that, let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and welcome in Wayne from Spring Hill who wants to weigh in. Wayne, thanks for calling into Robbie and Rex Road.
Hey, good morning, guys. It's still a different day. I was reading my Facebook memories this morning, and I can still imagine everything that happened that day. And actually, I'm kind of in the boat that Joe was in, is living in Spring Hill. We didn't get much. I rolled over at 12:30, and I had a text from a friend of mine in Lexington, Kentucky, of all places, just asking me if we were okay. I thought, well, it hasn't rained. It looks like we're okay. And that's when I turned on Twitter first, obviously with social media, and it was just lined with tornado warnings and watch out and is everybody okay. And I got up and turned on the TV and I watched it for 2.5 hours. And after the tornado went through Mount Juliet, actually, I have a family that lives there. I called them at 1:30 in the morning and I could hear the shakiness of their voice and just they were two houses away, two houses down from where they live, gone. There was about a streak of about 4 or 5 houses gone right there. And praise the Lord, they had only structural damage on the outside. Their back fence was gone.
Man, yeah. I mean, it was crazy, Wayne, to see just from walking around the damage that I saw in East Nashville, how, it seems like, one side of the street in some cases totally gone. The other side looked like it was basically untouched. Like these storms are just so crazy in that way.
Yeah, I drove out to see them, I guess it was a couple of weeks ago now, and I still see tarps on houses. And it's just amazing that even a year later, how long it takes to clean up from something like this.
Absolutely. Wayne, we appreciate you taking time to call in this morning.
Thanks, Wayne.
Yeah, I mean, it's to Wayne's point there, like, I remember, I'm not sure if it was this day a year ago, but in the couple days after, the storm came through, the footage coming out from, I think there was a house in Cookeville that had like a Ring door camera and you could just see the storm rolling through and hear it. And then like security footage came out from a traffic light camera in Germantown where right. You could just see the tornado roll right through and just how violent it was. I mean, it's one thing to see the damage, but to like see video of the storm rolling in and just how violent it can be. That was pretty jarring. I remember watching those and thinking, oh my goodness, like how is this not worse than it is? I mean, it's really bad, but how is it not worse than it is?
Yeah, exactly. And again, it's just so seemingly, it's just random little touch here and there. And that's enough to do unbelievable damage. I mean, like Paul Wade said last segment, if you just saw the pictures, you didn't get – I mean, his description was very detailed and very eye-opening too because, I've just seen the – and the pictures alone of DCA were shocking. But then you get to all the stuff he just told us way deeper than that. Pretty amazing the damage that can happen in an instant.
Yeah, and just like the uncertainty of everything too. Like I've got some friends that live in Lebanon. And, I came in and started to see the damage on, the show we were doing and watching it on TV. And, you send texts out to some people that you know, and you don't hear from them for a few hours. And you're thinking, oh, man, like what's going on here now? They lost power. Like my buddy had to go out to his Jeep and sit in his Jeep for like 2.5 hours to charge his phone to like get in touch with people and let them know that they were okay. But just the chaos in the aftermath of trying to, like, you want to do everything you can to help and get to some of these places, but, you know, as Paul described, like, some of the roads were just totally impassable last year. Like, you could not get to places and either check on people and try to help. And you know, rescue teams and efforts were saying, you know, stay away. Like, we've got some cleanup to do. We've got to navigate through some structural issues as well. Like, just, it was a crazy, chaotic scene in the aftermath.
Yeah, no doubt.
And you always think that that stuff isn't going to happen to your community.
Right.
You know, you see it on the news, you see it in movies, and you're like, that will never happen to us. And then it did.
Yeah, just a crazy day. This day a year ago, waking up in this situation. So like I said, we'll continue to take your reaction and your stories all show long on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Now, I do want to get to a little bit of some Titans talk this hour. We've got a question on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. CD text in and says, if you could bring back one player between Jayon Brown and Rashawn Evans, who would you guys choose? So if you had to pick one, Joe Rexrode, Jayon Brown, Rashawn Evans, who would you choose?
Well, if you're saying conditions are equal, then Jayon Brown. Jayon Brown has been a tremendous playmaker for the Titans. I mean, he has a knack for making plays. He's pretty darn good in coverage, maybe not elite. You know, I mean, it's still tough for him against really, you know, quick backs or really, really good tight ends, but he's pretty good, and he has all things being equal, yes, Jayon Brown. But situationally, Jayon Brown's going to be a free agent, and you're going to have to pay a whole bunch more money to him to keep him. So it's not going to be him. It's going to be Rashawn Evans still on his rookie deal and Jayon Brown playing somewhere else, I think, unless there's just money stuck in some, you know, some non-cap counting money that I'm not aware of.
What did you think of the news coming out yesterday? Kyle Van Noy not going to be with the Dolphins anymore. Just signed there, was there 1 year in Miami, and now he signed a $51 million deal to join the Dolphins, and Dolphins moving on. Kyle Van Noy going to be on the open market.
There you go. That's the kind of thing. You're going to see more and more of this. You know, pretty good players who were previously overpaid who all of a sudden are just out there. And how much of a bargain can you get for some of these guys? Now, Kyle Van Noy is, I think, separated enough from the Lions. He was lionized like all players are when they're with the Lions, and he has moved on from that. So, yeah, he's an intriguing player. Now the name is eluding me, the Vikings tight end.
Kyle Rudolph.
Yeah, that's right. We talked a little before the show.
A lot of Kyles
of note in Nashville lately. But he's very intriguing to me, depending on how things go with Jonnu Smith.
What do you think about, because Van Noy is a guy, he ranked third among all non-defensive linemen with 28 total pressures. We know, you know, what a need there is for the Titans. He was second on the team with 10 quarterback hits last year and third with 6 sacks. So, like, the 6 sack number is not going to just blow you away. But a guy obviously very gifted at getting to the quarterback. I wonder what a guy like him could cost this year in free agency for the Titans to bring in.
That's so difficult
to try to determine.
It really is. I don't know. But usually there's somebody that has the money and really likes a player like that, right? So I wouldn't think it'd be totally pennies on the dollar for him. But, you know, Van Noy, and there will be more players like this where it's like, gosh, you might be able to get 2 pretty good players and afford it as opposed to really putting a big chunk of money into one person.
Yeah, I just wonder, like, obviously Van Noy is a name that probably not very many people saw coming, being available and out there. I just wonder in the next couple of weeks here, how much more of this are we going to see? Like, teams have got to start making decisions on their franchise tag. They've got until the 9th to do that. I mean, I just wonder how many more guys like this are going to be out there and available. and how much that's going to, I guess, overcrowd the free agent market that's out there.
A ton, I think. I can't imagine how it wouldn't be. It's going to make it more fun and probably more confusing, too.
Could be the most fun NFL offseason in a long time. With ever. Quarterback movement.
How about ever?
Maybe ever.
We like hyperbole. Let's just say it's the greatest ever.
Do we think this maybe facilitates more trades? Like, there's not a ton of trading that goes on in the NFL. We had people on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, float out the idea of maybe if you're the Titans, trading Adoree Jackson. And if you're going to cut him, maybe trying to get something for him rather than cutting him.
Yeah.
You think maybe this lends itself to some more trades around the league?
I think that makes sense because, yeah, why wouldn't you? Rather than just say, well, sorry. Like with a Van Noy, no one's taking that deal.
No.
Yeah, you know, you're not moving that deal. But there, Adoree's a good example of someone who could be attractive and isn't at a big price tag. And, yeah, I think that's – I hadn't thought of it like that, but I think you may be right. I think we might see more. And the NFL in general, last few years –
like starting to come on
like
a little bit.
I mean, I never even used to – like. I never used to talk about the trading deadline in the NFL. Like, you had the random, you know, Cowboys send Herschel Walker to completely rebuild their franchise to the idiot Vikings in 1988 or whatever. You know, you have the random thing like that, but not much of it. So, let's have more.
When we come back, we'll continue the discussion on the Titans and also continue to get your reaction, as we will all show long, to this day 1 year ago in our community with the tornadoes that came through and caused so much destruction. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ryan in Nashville, hang with us. We'll get to you on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We're going to have James Figueredo from Boomba's East Nashville Pizza. He's going to join us coming up in just a few minutes. Obviously, Boomba's last year totally devastated by the tornado that rolled through our area. We'll get his reaction and get kind of his thoughts and vantage point on this day a year ago, as we will from all of you on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Ryan from Nashville, who wants to weigh in. Ryan, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
Thanks, guys. I remember the night before at the Preds game when my wife and I left and we walked outside, and it felt like walking into almost an oven. I looked at her going, hey, let's get home. I got a feeling something bad was going to happen. So the storm's coming in. And because usually we go and hang out tavern for a couple hours after the game, whether we want to lose or hang out with some friends. But we just went home that night. Woke up. We actually, cause where we were at, we missed the entire storm. We slept through it. And we woke up. And actually, you know, I see the devastation on TVs and all that. I'm calling people I know, making sure they're okay. And then when Mount Juliet opened up where we can go volunteer, I went back to the Tri Points area to help volunteer. And the first house I went to was, if you remember, that little boy that got sucked out of the window through the tornado. That was the first house we went to work on. And it was just walking back there. I couldn't believe the devastation that it looked like a war zone. Bombs just went off everywhere back there.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for the call, Ryan. We appreciate it. I mean, to his point, I mean, there were so many stories about devastation and, you know, just the damage sustained on the homes and even out at Cookeville, like some of the damage in Cookeville.
Oh, yeah.
I really couldn't believe bad. What we were seeing out there. Just, I mean, it was entire neighborhoods just completely leveled. Not only, I mean, just really everywhere around here that was affected. Mount Juliet had some neighborhoods damaged. Cookeville was borderline unbelievable with the damage out there. Germantown, North Nashville, East Nashville, I mean, like we said before, like just the path of the storm. Like I remember the image, I think it was Topgolf, of like the big nets that they had that were just kind of like ripped in half that they had to go back and fix after that. And just like the outline on the news of the path of the storm, I mean, basically like a straight line moving east. I mean, usually there's like some type of, I don't know, variation in way that it moves around a little bit. This one was just like a straight path. East. It was crazy.
Just ripped apart, everything in its path. Doesn't happen. And I'm not very good with the technical terms, but that was F4, right? I believe that's
maybe
right.
Yeah.
EF4.
Yeah.
EF4, which is, you know, I mean, you're talking about stuff that doesn't happen often. Like Poor said, you never think it's going to happen to you. You know, I mean, Alabama had a really bad one a few years ago, but they are, it's just, there's just nothing you can do but, you know, hope and pray it doesn't hit you. And you're talking about almost $2 billion in damage, lives lost. And again, just the shocking or the frightening thing is just how quickly it will develop out of seemingly nothing, or at least, you know, you have conditions a lot. You have tornado watches a lot. Obviously, very rarely gets to this point.
And we'll continue to take your reaction all show long on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. James Figueredo from Boom Boss Craft Pizza and Tap House will join us at 7:30. Joe, we were talking last segment about the Titans. We mentioned Kyle Van Noy, a guy that now will be available and maybe an option for the Titans out there to consider. Another guy that could be available for the Titans to consider is Kyle Rudolph at the tight end position. Now, we'll see what happens with Jonnu Smith and Kyle Rudolph, especially when you think back to 2016, 2017, one of the premier tight ends in the league in terms of production. I mean, in 2016, he had 132 targets, 83 receptions, 840 yards, and 7 touchdowns. Now, Kyle Rudolph is not that guy anymore. Last year, he had 28 catches, 334 yards, and 1 touchdown. But if the Titans lose Jonnu Smith, I mean, I think you'd feel good about Anthony Firkser coming back and being a part of things, but that's going to be a position that if you're John Robinson, you're going to have to address if you lose Jonnu Smith, whether it's free agency, whether it's in the draft, maybe a combination of the two. What do you think about Kyle Rudolph? How much do you think he has left in the tank? And if you're the Titans and you lose Jonnu Smith, would Kyle Rudolph be a route that maybe you consider?
I would think so. And, you know, he has – now, so he missed some time, but for the most part, he's been very durable.
I mean, yeah.
Played every game the previous 5 seasons before that. Obviously, you're talking about a guy who's been really synonymous with the Vikings, been through a lot of different eras there. 31, and I would think that would be a viable option. You know, Todd Downing knows him also. You know, they briefly were together in Minnesota. So it's the same thing with, we were just talking about Kyle Van Noy with Kyle Rudolph. What's the market here? Pretty significant drop in production the last couple years. But even like 2019, he still had 6 touchdowns. He only had 1 last year. Vikings releasing him. How much of a comment is that on him as a player? How much of it is simply their situation, their reality, their cap situation? Probably some of both.
Maybe your boy Kirk Cousins not throwing him the ball enough.
Maybe it's on Cousins. Maybe it's not on Kyle. It's on Kirk. I would think that certainly he's a guy who could be kind of like, if you lose Corey Davis, I like Marvin Jones Jr. as a possible alternative, and I like Kyle Rudolph as an alternative to Jonnu Smith. You're talking about a guy who is a good inline tight end too. I mean, that's, you know, the thing with Firkser. I think Firkser's done as well as you can do with his physical reality.
Yeah,
you know, but Kyle Rudolph, 6'6", 270, and he can run a little bit. You know, he used to be able to run really well.
I can't believe you just let me take a shot at Kirk Cousins like that, and it went unanswered.
Hey, I've never said Kirk Cousins is perfect. He's just he's a great guy.
He is.
And he's an overachiever. So there are times when I'm like, Kirk, man, can't throw that pick. Kirk Cousins is Jared Goff.
Wow.
I mean, when those guys, if you give Kirk Cousins a clean pocket, he'll be accurate all day and carve you up. He's limited athletically. And so we saw the Titans effective. Gosh, we saw Vic Beasley and Jadeveon Clowney actually make plays that won that game at the end of the game,
yeah,
by the way. just by getting to Kirk Cousins and bothering him. So let's not forget
that. Yeah, Porth can't say Vic Beasley did nothing.
That's true.
Look at that one play in Minnesota.
He did nothing.
There was one. Go watch the film.
Nothing.
There was one snap.
44.
He did nothing.
What a play by Vic Beasley.
Kirk Cousins will tell you, man.
Got to watch out for that guy. It's interesting. Like, we broke this down the other day when we're talking about A.J. Brown with the Titans. Like, obviously, receiver is something they've got to address either way. But if you lose Janu, like, I think both of us had Firkser coming back, Michael Pruitt coming back. I had Jeff Swaim coming back as well. Like, you feel good about those three guys. But I don't know that I feel that any of those three should be your number one tight end. Like, maybe Firkser. But that's a position where if you're John Robinson, you got to figure something out there if you lose Jonnu Smith. And the problem is, like, you can't draft everything in the first round. Like, you've got to either pick a pass rusher or a receiver, or maybe you do go tight end. Like, I have a hard time believing their first round pick is not going to be a pass rusher of some kind. So you've got to find a nice value pick somewhere in the draft, maybe with tight end as well, in addition to all the other needs that you've got that you may have in the draft as well. Got a lot of interesting decisions in the draft coming up for the Titans.
Oh, no doubt. One guy who intrigues me a little bit is Jerod Pinkney. I mean, I remember watching Pinkney his junior year at Vanderbilt, and that was the year the Titans, I want to say maybe Jonnu Smith was hurt that year, but they had a really rough tight end situation. I remember I saw John Robinson on the West End for one of those games. I was like, I bet you if John Robinson could just kidnap Jerod Pinkney away right now and bring him to the game tomorrow, he'd start for the Titans. Pinkney didn't have a very good senior season, was with the Falcons. He is with the Titans now. Maybe he's a guy who can give you, you know, some of that if you lose Jonnu Smith. But I agree, none of those guys are quote-unquote number one tight ends. I mean, Firkser is a terrific passing situation pass catcher. I mean, he's a great route runner, and he'll beat way more linebackers than he doesn't. But, yeah, you need to have that guy who does everything like Jonnu Smith can do. So Kyle Rudolph could be one of those guys. But, yeah, I would say a draft pick there at some point makes sense. But how much of a difference maker are you going to get wherever you're going to pick a tight end? I mean, the receiving – I mean, I just feel like receiver is more urgent the way it's looking.
Yeah, I'd agree.
So many needs.
Even if Corey Davis is back, like, you've got to add some depth to the receiving room. So, again, that's why I say, like, if Jonnu Smith isn't here, there are some very interesting decisions to make in the draft or free agency at that position if you're John Robinson. When we come back, we will get back into the discussion of this day 1 year ago in our community. James Figueredo from Boom Boss Craft Pizza and Tap House will join us. We'll discuss the damage that they sustained last year and their path coming back into business here shortly. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We are going to be joined very shortly by James Figueredo, Boom Boss Craft Pizza and Tap House General Manager in East Nashville. We're discussing this day a year ago in our community. It's been a really tough year and a tough day this time a year ago in our community. And Boom Boss Craft Pizza and Tap House affected mightily last year by the tornado. So we'll have him coming up for you here in just a few minutes. And speaking of later in the show, how would you like to watch the Preds game in style? You could tune in later on as we reveal a key word for you to text into the game line at 615-737-1025 for your chance to win the T-Mobile Hockey Homegate. It's your chance to watch a weekend Preds game with a Dos Equis prize pack, which includes a case of beer, dessert from Nothing Bunk Cakes, a T-Mobile prize pack, and food provided by 312 Pizza Company in Germantown. You must be 21 or older to enter, and we'll have that opportunity coming up for you a little bit later in the show. With that being said, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in James Figueredo from Boom Boss Craft Pizza and Tap House to the program here on Robbie and Rex Road. James, thanks so much for taking time to join us. We appreciate it.
Good morning, guys.
So, James, obviously, this time a year ago, Joe and I were doing the show, and we were coming in, and We knew that there had been some storms that have rolled through, but I don't think we actually knew the scope of the damage until the sun started to come up and the news coverage started to highlight just the scope and the severity of everything that's gone on. And obviously you guys at Boom Boss Craft Pizza and Tap House affected in a mighty way. What do you remember about waking up on this day a year ago and what you saw?
Woke up to a phone call from Miss Stephanie, my host, and answered the phone and I just said, "James, I'm running." And I thought she was being attacked by somebody in the community, and so I made a beeline from Murfreesboro, grabbed my son, and get about Laverne, and she goes, "Hey, and Boomba's is gone." And I'm like, "What do you mean?" And then I found out it was a tornado, so I made it up here, found to make sure she was safe first. But it looked like a war zone, man.
Yeah.
But we've come a long way.
Yeah, take us through that a little bit, James. So you're coming up, you get to East Nashville. You know, what are the images that still stick in your brain a year later?
Well, we pulled up. Of course, I made a beeline to where my employee was and made sure she was okay. She got cut when part of the window at Beyond the Edge blew in, and she was my only team member that got hurt. But there was three buildings around me that were gone completely. I lost 60% of my building that day, and, you know, I watched my roof collapse in. And, we were pulling people out of the church that had collapsed, and some of the homeless people had got blown into the wall, and we were pulling them out. And, it was pretty scary, I'm going to be honest.
Yeah, it certainly was. And, James, obviously, like, the response of the community in the days that followed the event, pretty incredible. Like, I remember being out in East Nashville the Saturday after the storms rolled through and just the amount of people out lending a helping hand or trying to help in any way they could was pretty incredible. What do you remember about the days after the storm and the response from the community?
Well, you know, we do pizzas and I'm used to feeding people in times of crisis. That's what I go to. And so we came up, you know, we couldn't do anything with our restaurant. So we came up here and we were growing out hot dogs for the community. And the one thing that we saw every single day, everywhere you looked across all of East Nashville, you saw people coming out that maybe had never even known each other, and they were coming to help each other. Families bringing their kids to help clear rubble from people's homes. Business owners helping business owners. You rarely in Nashville's history do you get to see opportunities where you see everybody truly come together. I saw it after the flood, but what I saw after that tornado truly made me so proud to be from Nashville.
James, what has the last year been like for you in terms of your business? How much of a challenge has it been? What has it been like?
It's been quite a bit of a challenge between the tornado and then going into COVID and some of the regulations in Davidson County and with all that. It's been a struggle. While Bellevue Restaurant has struggled, you know, we've had other restaurants to keep us busy while we're rebuilding this one. But it's between tornado and COVID and then bombings. It's been a year like I've never seen in my 30 years here in Nashville.
James Figueredo from Boomba's Craft Pizza and Tap House on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So James, you mentioned the rebuild and what's been taking place in East Nashville over the course of the last year. Where does that stand? What's that process look like right now in East Nashville?
We were trying to open for the anniversary of the tornado, which is today, but due to some COVID issues related delays, we were not able to. So we're going to open up April 6th back to the community, and we're just so excited about getting the kids going down the playground and great games going on and on the TVs and supporting our Titans and our Predators and maybe hosting a 102.5 here in the restaurant like we did before.
Absolutely. I know Ryan Porth, big fan of Boomba's Craft Pizza and Tap House.
Huge
been
fan.
There a lot.
Well, what was so eerie about the devastation in East Nashville, watching it on the news as it was happening, was you see the image of Boomba's, and it's like, just a month ago, we were all gathering in Boomba's every Sunday for the Titans.
Yep.
And those Titans playoff games, it was rowdy. And then, you know, 6 weeks later, that place is devastated, like James is describing, and that, you know, that made it hit home just a little bit more.
Absolutely. And James, obviously, you know, our thoughts and prayers have been with you and been with everyone in East Nashville over the course of the last year. It's been a rough year, as we know, from the tornado to COVID and all the different challenges that this last year has presented. But happy to know that you guys are about to be back up and running on April the 6th, and hope people drop by and check out Boom Boss Craft Pizza and Tap House in East Nashville. We appreciate you taking time to join us this morning.
Thank you, guys.
Absolutely. James Figueredo from Boom Boss Craft Pizza and Tap House in East Nashville. And it is crazy. Like I said to start the show, like walking around East Nashville the Saturday after the storms came through, whether it was over by Shelby Park or Eastland Avenue or up towards the Five Points area, I mean, just the range of the devastation was pretty incredible to watch. And East Nashville is a place that's very close to my heart. I grew up going to church there. I lived there for the first 10 years of my life. And, you know, we've seen some changes in East Nashville in terms of a lot more businesses have come in. And that area has been really revitalized of kind of the hotspot now in Nashville. And just to see the people respond that way, whether it was at Boom Boss or whether it was, you know, anywhere else in the community, that Saturday to me is a day that I'll always remember, just based on that. Just kind of to me sums up what Nashville is. I remember here being, you know, being here for the flood and the aftermath of that, and the city's grown so much even from that time with the floods back in 2010. Just the, you know, we've got so many differences now and so many things that try to pull you apart. But when bad things happen, to watch a community, regardless of skin color or gender or political ideology, come together in the way that it did was pretty inspiring. And I think the most encouraging thing that I've seen in a really long time, that Saturday after the storm, is going to be something that sticks with me for the rest of my life.
Well said. I have nothing to add to that. That was perfectly said. Yeah, and I mean, like Paul Wade told us earlier, turning people away.
Yeah,
you know? Pretty cool. And ultimately, things that matter a lot more than a lot of things that turn into massive issues.
Yeah.
Especially in this, you know, this online world. I will say on Twitter, though, there are good things too. Like friend of the show Emily Proud tweeted out WKRN remembering the 25 lives lost today.
Yeah.
And so she's got pictures of some of these people, you know, beautiful little girl and another little child. I mean, it's something to remember as well, just the devastation, families ripped apart from this 1 year ago.
Yeah, absolutely. And to James's point there, I mean, we talked about him. It's been a process. As we know, the tornado come through, that's bad enough, and then you've got COVID on top of it. It's been a rough time for some businesses, not here in Nashville, but throughout the country as well. And Boom Boss Craft Pizza and Tap House in East Nashville, April 6th, the day that they'll be reopening. So I know we're all looking forward to that, and if you could go out and support them in any way you can, I know that we would all be greatly appreciative of that. When we come back, we are going to switch gears. It's that time of the week, time for The Choice Is Yours, and Robbie Stanley in the questions chair today. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Here they come, yo. Here they come. Here they come, yo. Here they come. Here they
this,
come.
This, 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 this.
And it's that time of the week, time for The Choice Is Yours here on Robbie and Rex Road. We throw out different scenarios, both sports and non-sports, and then we debate on how we would respond to said scenarios. We did a great job last week on The Choice Is Yours. Joe Rex Road was in the questions chair. I have resumed the duties this week. So, gentlemen, without further ado, where would you like to begin, sports or non-sports?
Let's go non.
Non-sports. All right, so the choice is yours. You can bring back one thing from your childhood that is not either around anymore or as prevalent anymore that kids today know nothing about. If you could bring one thing back from your childhood, take it any direction you want to take it. Joe, you've got a smile on your face.
Well, Joe's childhood is going to be a lot different.
Yeah, so this is basically, let's talk about how old Joe is today.
What about the rotary phone? What are your thoughts on that?
I like the rotary phone. We have a rotary phone at my house.
Do you?
Yeah, I mean, just like sitting there.
Yeah.
Like a cool, like an old black old rotary phone.
Do you think
phone,
kids today you know? Have any concept of how to operate a rotary phone? I don't know that I have any concept on how to operate a rotary phone.
Yeah, I'm trying to, I'd love to know when was the last year that I put my fingers into one of those and did the dialing.
I mean, twirling, it's circling around.
Because I mean, by like 85, everything was right.
Yeah.
For the most part, I mean, I remember like cordless phones. Oh, what a revolution! Porth, you go first because like I have to go back decades. Okay,
so you really have to rewrap.
I have
your
a lot
brain.
Of tough choices. Yeah. You got something in mind? It's a good question. There's a few things that come to
there's
mind.
There's different ways you could take it, sure.
There are many ways you can take it. You know, one thing that I actually thought about recently, I don't know if I necessarily want them back, but how big was Blockbuster and Hollywood Video back in the day? If you wanted to go watch a movie, you walk around Blockbuster or Hollywood Video hoping that DVD or VHS tape was like behind the DVD cover. I had some memories on that. Or video games.
Oh, yeah. Like, I used to wander in on Friday nights and go to either Blockbuster or Hollywood. They were always, like, right across the street from each other or right next to each other. Grab you a little video game. Grab you a DVD. Get you some Bunch of Crunch. Or maybe even before the DVD, some VCR action as well.
Some Bunch of Crunch. That's a good call.
Yeah, man.
Also, the Big East basketball tournament. Bring it back.
Yeah, you like that. I like
Porth
that
goes immediately back to sports.
That's a good call. All right, three things come to mind for me. One is Saturday morning cartoons.
Yes.
I feel like that's something that kids, it's just not a thing. But for me, you know, it used to be, again, I'm going to go back to my childhood. Now we're going back to, you know, a little bit of 70s into the 80s. But like, you know, you weren't recording anything. You couldn't record anything. You whatever was on TV when it was on, and you watch it or you didn't. And Saturday morning cartoons, absolutely a huge thing for little kids. I would say also, and people have this, but like records. I love records.
Yeah.
I had a record player. And I just feel like, and you don't appreciate the time. I was excited when we had cassette tapes. That was a big thing. My gosh, CDs, get out of here. But I love vinyl and just like the cool, like a band that puts out a great album with like they put a lot into the liner and the you know the artwork and everything, and with an album it's just way bigger. So that's one thing. And then I would say drive-ins. And I know that there are some of those too, but that used to be a regular thing, going to the drive-in. I've seen I saw Empire Strikes Back at the drive-in, Superman 2 at the drive-in, Caddyshack. Although it was the later show when I was supposed to be asleep in my jammies, I was allowed to watch the gopher part still at the beginning of Caddyshack. And maybe I kind of stayed up a little bit too late after that. But, like, you know, double features at the drive-in in your jammies, that was awesome. And and just drive-ins in general at any age, I mean, that's something I'd love everybody to experience.
I feel like record players are making a little bit of a comeback.
No, they are. I mean, vinyl has a certain sound, and there are a lot of people who are into it. Yeah.
Everything comes back eventually.
It's never going to totally go away.
I would say, like, the reason this came up for me is because I was thinking about it. I was talking with a friend the other day, and, like, my generation is the last generation that knows what life is like before smartphones. Like, the smartphone came out when I was a senior in high school. So this is that. I mean, that's what kids do now. Like my little godsons, they watch stuff on the iPad and they can do all this stuff all over. Like, to me, my answer would be number one, get the phones out of your kid's hand for a little while. But number two, remember the Bop It game? I was an expert at Bop It. It's not a video game. Porth, you should know what this is.
It's like Whack-A-Mole?
No, man. Well, kind of.
I don't know.
People will know what Bop It is on the text.
I don't remember Bop It.
My goodness. What did y'all do in Ohio?
Apparently not Bop It.
Apparently not Bop It. Oh, boy. Let's go.
I want to add Atari 2600, too. I'd like to bring that back, and that'd be the only video game system in the world.
My dad texts in and says the arcade would be something he'd bring back. Before you could play the best games at home, going to the arcade and blowing hours and a bunch of money at the arcade.
For sure. And, you know, that is one thing. And we have one in Nolensville now, but more and more you see these, like, the classic arcade game places, which is cool.
Or arcade bars now.
Yeah. There are arcade bars. There's actually one in Cincinnati I've been to.
Yeah. Headquarters Beercade.
Yeah.
In downtown Nashville.
Yeah.
But I agree. Action.
Back then, like, you take your quarters and you got your Galaga and your Miss Pac-Man. Mm-hmm. Oh, heck yeah.
Do some damage.
The Blasteroids.
Let's get back into sports. You can pick one of these things to happen for the Titans, but only be assured of one of them. So, who knows? They could all happen. But you can only be assured of one. Corey Davis re-signs for $11 million per season. Matthew Judon signs for $17 million per season. Or the first-round pick, whoever it is, comes in and makes a heavy impact immediately. So you can be guaranteed of one of these three things if you're John Robinson and the Titans. Of those three options, which way are you going?
Well, that's tough. I know third is Judon because I don't know. I mean, that's a big number, and I don't know if it would be worth it. So I would eliminate that. It's really tough between Davis and the first-round pick. I think that number is – that's right at the upper echelon of what I'd be willing to pay him.
That's why I said
I think he's in – yeah, yeah. No, it's a good question. I guess I'd go Davis, but, I mean, if you know a big impact from your first-round pick, that's something that's got to happen too. But I think I'd go Davis because you know what you have with him, I think, and this offense needs as much continuity as possible.
Ryan Porth?
I go first-round pick.
First-round pick?
Give me the first-round pick, like the Javon Kurse type impact in year one.
Right.
Yeah. I'll go with the first-round pick because that can signify a big piece of the puzzle moving forward.
That's why I picked the first-round pick as well, because not only is it great news for next year, probably pretty good news moving forward for the Titans as well. The Judon thing is tempting. Like, $17 million is a lot. But I
no thanks.
I think he could end up around $15.5, $16, $17 million.
I like him a lot. Think he'd be a good add. That's a number. But apparently the Titans will find however many million dollars they need to find.
Apparently so. All right, moving back into non-sports to a certain degree. J.J. Watt has come out and announced that he is wearing a retired number. So a number that has already been retired by the Arizona Cardinals, 99, and he's gotten permission to wear this number. If you're a player or if this was something in your line of work where somebody had done something and they have been honored for it and it's something that you still did and you were part of their career, would you want to wear, like if you're in J.J. Watt's shoes, did you wear the 99 or would you just automatically pick a number? Because some people are legitimately angry at J.J. Watt that he's done this.
I would go with a different number.
Out of respect.
Yep. I absolutely
not
would.
Even if you were given permission.
Like if I was a star baseball player, and I'm going to take it home to my Reds, but if I was a star baseball player with the number 11 and got traded to the Reds, I'm not asking Barry Larkin, hey, can I wear number 11? I'm changing it up, just like Ken Griffey Jr. did. And Ken Griffey Jr. was 24 in Seattle. That number was retired by Tony Perez, so yeah. He went with 30.
Okay. Joe Rexrow, would you wear the retired number?
It's another sign that maybe J.J. Watt's a little bit of a tool. No.
And it is kind of weird.
And if he takes this idiotic mug in that jersey.
He's going to.
Look at me. No, it's ridiculous. Wear a different number. Oh, I'm 99.
Yeah.
No, there's been other 99s, too.
I got to say, it wasn't a great look from J.J. Watt.
Yeah.
Like, I like J.J. Watt a lot. I was, just wear a different number, man.
There's only one 99.
Yeah.
The great one.
Ooh. I think 99 should be retired in all sports?
Not to that extent.
Okay. Yeah, just checking.
But maybe 42.
Maybe J.J. Watt will call himself in his bio like the great one of the NFL.
All right, I got another question for you. We found out yesterday that the Predators have got some random fans out there. Now, we've known about George Kittle and the relationship that he's got with Philip Forsberg. Alvin Kamara yesterday snowboarding around the state of Montana in a custom-made 41 Nashville Predators Alvin Kamara jersey. So I ask you this. Who would you rather attend a Nashville Predators game with? George Kittle or Alvin Kamara?
Kittle.
That was not much hesitation from Ryan.
I would take George Kittle because I know he's like best friends with Philip Forsberg, and he would probably tell some stories.
Yeah. You could learn some stories about Butch Jones, though, with old Kamara.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know anything about Kittle. He could be boring as all get out.
He's not boring.
Okay. See, I don't know anything about him. So from what my knowledge is, definitely Kamara because he's funny. And, yes, I mean, you talk about – I would love some deep, deep stories from, you know, sharing the carries with Jalen Hurd and et cetera, and so on, and Butch and all that stuff. Yeah, Kamara all day.
I go Kamara, too, just for that reason, and just to get to the bottom of what was going on at Tennessee during his time, and also, like, how does he feel about Alabama, like, not being able to get on the field? And then it turns out he's one of the best players in America.
Pretty good. It's pretty tough depth chart.
Pretty tough depth chart
for him when he was at Bama, man.
As well, that's for sure. What do you think, like, the Saints are thinking watching Alvin Kamara in these videos snowboarding down this big old hill in a Preds jersey?
How is that not in his contract?
Does that have to be against your contract? Like, I thought you couldn't do things like that.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of contracts have stuff like that.
That couldn't have been a surprise, though, to them. They would have to know, you would think, that,
I mean, you'd think
that he's
tweeting,
you know,
it out.
Into that.
Yeah, maybe he got some kind of an exception or a permission. Bob Williams, great tweet here. Friend of the show. Super Friends. Super Friends gift there. Awesome. You guys ever seen Super Friends?
Yes.
So great.
What is Super Friends?
It's the DC Comics. You know, it's a Saturday morning cartoon.
Yeah.
From late 70s / early 80s.
I was not a cartoon guy.
That's what I say. You're talking to
or
the
kid.
Wrong person here.
How about Underoos? You guys are familiar with Underoos? Oh, yeah. It's one of the big disappointments of my life. Is I wanted Underoos. So, of course, you want Superman.
Sure.
I know Dunkaroos.
Batman.
Oh, God. Ryan Poore is so sheltered.
I don't know what that is. But
you don't know what Dunkaroos are?
No.
I mean, how would you describe it? It's like a snack.
Yeah, you dunk it.
Yeah.
And eat it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dunkaroo.
Well, anyway, a big disappointment of my life is that I got Aquaman Underoos.
Still, that's tough.
Still kind of makes me mad. You know, it's like, Aquaman? Really? Aquaman?
That's today's edition of The Choice Is Yours.
That's a good show. Good night, everybody.
On Robbie and Rex Road. When we come back, we'll switch gears, talk a little college basketball. Jerry Palm from CBS will join us. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesale League Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.